and Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 29th day of December, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. We'll get an update on legislation in Washington, D.C., and I'll tell you all about the upcoming University of Illinois events for the month of January. It all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby March soft red winter wheat down 9¾ cents today. A settlement price at $5.41. May futures at 5.54 and a half, down 9 and a half, and July at 5.66 and a quarter, down 8 3/4 on the afternoon. In Kansas City, nearby hard red March at 5.38, down 8 cents. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, March contract at 4.17 settlement price. Up a penny on the day. May futures at 4.27, up 1 cent. And July at 4.35 and a half for the corn, up 3/4. September contract down 1/4. A settlement price there at $4.39 and 3/4 a bushel. And next year's December, that's the harvest month of 2011, or rather 2010, at $4.45 and a quarter cents, down 1/4 of rather 1/2 of a cent. From the soy complex, January beans today, $10.38, up 9. The March at 10.47, 9 cents higher. May at 10.52 and a half, up 8 3/4. July soybeans at 10.57, up 8 1/4. August contract at 10.52 and 1/2, up 8 1/4. And the harvest month November futures for 2010 contract in the bean pit settled at 10.18, up 8 cents on the afternoon. Soy complex bean meal at 314.90, up 4.50. Oil at 39.43, down 20 cents. December live cattle futures 84.22 and a half, up 55. Febs down 25 at 85.12 and a half. Jan feeders at 94.97 and a half, down 55. And the February lean hogs at 65.42 and a half, finished 72 and a half cents higher on a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $78.87 a barrel, a settlement price there, a dime higher for the day. January ethanol at $1.92 and 3 cents, up 7 cents. Natural gas at $5.81 and 9 cents, down 17 and a tenth. The RBOB gasoline, that's your gasoline price or base gasoline price, at $2.09 of a cent. It finished down 0.8 of a cent. January heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.10 and 2 cents of a cent, up 2 9/10 of a cent. And the gold futures for the day at $1,097, finished $10.20 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,561 is just about 14 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 77.84 is up 0.21 on the afternoon. And the CRB index for the day at 283.90 is down 0.55 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the Tuesday region looks like is prepared by our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in western and southern Illinois should become cloudy, light snow possible towards morning. Elsewhere, increasing cloudiness. Lows will range from 12 in the northeastern parts of Indiana to 27 in the far south. Tomorrow in southern sections, cloudy, a chance of light rain and snow, says Mr. Sola. Elsewhere, cloudy, occasional light snow and some flurries. No new snow accumulations of, new snow accumulations of an inch or two by evening tomorrow. Highs will range from 28 in the north to 40 in the south. The extended forecast says some light snow across the Midwest during the next 48 hours, and then some very cold temps will settle into the Midwest for the first week of the new year. Over the next 10 days, we'll see very limited precip, but colder than average temperatures. We'll have more on those temps and that less than average precip when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the line with us today, as he is each and every Tuesday, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
I hope you had a very good Christmas and are looking forward to a very happy, if not very cold, New Year's.
Well, it'll probably be cold, but we're going to be looking forward to it. Like this is supposed to be the year of the commodities coming up, is what they told me when I talked to the floor today. So the ideas are that they're moving away from energies and the investment funds and going into commodities. So a lot of excitement to come up for the new year. But, we, of course, just had a very happy holiday, had some time spent at the hospital and some good news and some everything happened. So everything is happy over here.
Well, that's good indeed. Tell me more about your conversation with the folks at the floor and why they think it's the year of the commodity for 2010.
Well, as some of the fund managers spent time at their Christmas parties and around town talking to people, they're talking about the realignment of what they're going to do, some of the ideas that they're going to up the percentages of corn and wheat and beans in their funds. Also the idea that we're going to see some outside money because of the consumer confidence idea that the commodities are going to be in much more demand here around the world as the economy moves on up a little bit. So we look to see some money flow, outside money flow into the commodities, and I'll push them up a little more than we have in the past.
Yeah, so as they rebalance their portfolios, meaning rolling out of some other stock or bond or commodity into the grains and the oilseed futures, that should put the marketplace in a higher turn. And it would follow suit in at least the soybeans with what China has been doing in the marketplace, although they actually take delivery of those commodities and are putting them in storage.
And that's a lot better attitude than just those that buy the board and then back away, because that's actually using the physical, Todd, and that's where the real strength lies, and that's what keeps the basis levels halfway decent. The other one we saw created quite a basis upheaval in the wheat a few years back when we saw that happen.
Yeah, so there should be some things to watch as they rebalance those portfolios. China, of course, taking delivery of that product, but the index funds and the fund managers not really wanting to take and store them anywhere. That's not in their business, so we'll watch that as it happens. What are you telling producers about the coming year?
Well, I think we're being somewhat aggressive about some of our pricing, being we are seeing some of this enthusiasm happen. Last week we saw the funds, as we looked at the commitment of traders, liquidated a large amount of their positions wanting to bank profits as they get paid on their percentage of profits for the year as a fund manager. And we've seen the last few days, especially today again, with no fundamental reason out there, Todd, that maybe they're trying to build that position back up as a new, having closed it out, and then trying to front-run the index funds a little bit going into the front years, why we've seen a little bit of strength in the beans here today and why the corn turned around from lower to just a tad higher the other day.
Would you think that would last into the end of this week and part of next week? How long might that last?
I think that we will see a shade to the upward side rather than the downward side going into the end of the year, just with that happening. I think the people that have wanted to even up and take their profits have pretty well done so. And I think that, the aggressive marketers have marketed whatever percentage they want for the end of the year here right now. And we'll be looking to see what sort of enthusiasm pops into the world, next week or whenever we do see the index funds start the rebalancing act with a larger volume. If they can move it, 10, 20, 30 cents higher in some of these markets, and at that point in time, why we want to have our selling shoes on, because we think those are going to be some real good opportunities to hedge crops. We've got our costs. We know what seed corn is going to cost, what seed beans, what our fertilizer costs can be, what our chemical costs are going to be. And we know if we use the insurance, why we've got a very good operating margin going on for this year already.
So you're looking to hedge at $4 and above, it appears, in corn and 10 and above in soybeans. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's where you put stuff on, and that would be basis the cash levels. Yes,
right,
Todd.
Right.
We are thinking of doing that, and if things continue to move on up or whatever, some of the guys that are a little bit scared, why we might be talking a little bit about bull call spreads if we get very aggressive in their marketing programs, just to sort of let us maybe take some of the top side. But remember, as the top sides get highly exaggerated, unfortunately, the basis levels might too.
What do you see in the livestock market for the coming year?
Oh, gosh, we hope we see recovery compared to this year, just out of the simple fact that the poor hog producers, they've just been beat up so bad this year. And let's face it, Todd, we have got to keep our livestock industry going because we love meat in this country, and we don't want to see this industry, fall by the wayside. And they do need to make some money because, growing up on a farm, raising livestock is not easy work.
Yeah, it's not easy work, and I suppose for the grain and oilseed producer, it is one of the places, despite the fact that there's been a
feed
big demand
shift.
Feed use
is a big, big area for that grain, and I tell you, if we take the feed industry, the livestock industry out of the U.S. and let it go somewhere else, then we become very dependent on whether they want to buy our grain or not to feed whatever livestock they have, rather than being handy and here at home.
Any final word before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, we'd just like to tell all the listeners it's been a great joy to be with them through the year here this year, and wishing them a very happy new year coming on, and we'll be looking forward to seeing and talking to them in the new year.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do it in a couple of ways. You can visit our website, of course, at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to him directly from the website or sign up to have the Closing Mark Report, Commodity Week, other programming delivered to your computer automatically. You can listen to us on the radio, and you can dial this number, 217-333-3444. We call it our mobile analyst portal, updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with a bit of analysis and either the opening or the closing numbers. It's 217-333-3434. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In today's agricultural news, when the new Congress begins in January, the Senate Ag Committee will have new leadership in new locations. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Blanche Lincoln has asked former committee chairman Tom Harkin to take seats she formerly held on the Subcommittee on Rural Revitalization, Conservation, Forestry, and Credit, the Subcommittee on Hunger, Nutrition, and Family Farms, and the Subcommittee on Production, Income Protection, and Price Support. Well, the Department of Agriculture has approved the first ultra-high radio frequency identification tag and the first non-low frequency tag to be approved for use with the 840 animal identification number. Called an e-tattoo, the ear tag operates at 915 megahertz. The tag allows users to collect data from individual animals housed in large pens or across groups of pens in a fraction of a second, even while animals are moving. The read range is optimized to allow producers to collect data from either the front or the back of the animal at a distance of up to 25 feet using a fixed reader or up to 15 feet using a handheld device. An Oklahoma plant is recalling beef. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service reports that National Steak and Poultry of Oklahoma has recalled about 248,000 pounds of beef products that may be contaminated with E. coli 0157, H7. The products were shipped to restaurants nationwide. RCAF is making a request. RCAF USA CEO Bill Bullard recently met with the Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyards Administrator J. Dudley Butler. He wanted to communicate the RCAF USA Marketing Committee's request that immediate steps be taken to halt meat packers' use of captive supply cattle to depress domestic cattle prices. According to Bullard, RCAF is requesting GIPSA take immediate action to halt the Packers' anti-competitive use of Packer-owned cattle, formula cattle contracts, and other captive supply schemes that specifically ask for a moratorium on the Packer practice of removing cattle from the competitive marketplace without establishing a price. We'll stay with the beef cattle industry for the moment. One of the exciting advances for the industry is the addition of DNA data for use in the expected progeny differences calculations. EPDs play a key role in the way beef producers make selection and mating decisions. That, according to Matt Spangler, he's an assistant professor and beef genetics extension specialist at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. The accuracies associated with EPDs increase as more information becomes available. Spangler says DNA technology has the potential to supply information early in the animal's life that could help increase the accuracy of EPDs. And finally today, a study conducted at the University of Arkansas and funded by the American Meat Institute Foundation has found that two approved red food dyes stain the protein and fat in bologna and turkey lunch meat and may help deli managers quickly determine areas of listeria contamination. Researchers noted that use of a 1/1000th dilution of the dyes FDC number 3 and number 40 could enable deli managers to determine whether additional cleaning is required before sanitizing the slicker or beginning operations. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Up next, the failure of the climate change negotiators in Copenhagen to secure binding carbon reduction limits or a deadline for achieving them could make it tougher to reach a U.S. Senate carbon deal. Well, there's still pressure, but likely less, on Senate climate change opponents, including most Republicans and some Democrats, to produce a carbon cap and trade energy bill in an election year, especially after the epic health care fight. American Farm Bureau's Paul Schlegel comments.
I think there will still be pressure in the Senate, but what Copenhagen demonstrated to everyone, I think, the ability of the international community to agree, and by that principally it's China, is simply not there, and that critically weakens support in Congress for legislation, because all along people have indicated that they don't want the United States to unilaterally disarm our economy.
President Obama offered in Copenhagen a 17% by 2020 cut in U.S. emissions and billions in financial help for developing nations to reduce emissions. But Arizona U.S. Senator Republican John Kyle has this.
We are not going to permit the president or anyone else to go around making commitments to the world as to what the United States will do in the future without an appreciation of the fact that those agreements will have to come back to the United States Senate for ratification.
Kyle points out the 1992 UN framework on climate change specifically did not grant unilateral authority to heads of states, and legislative history protects the Senate's advice and consent role. Meantime, AFBF's Paul Schlegel says other factors could also slow down climate legislation.
What has happened on health care, I think, has led to a great amount of political exhaustion up there, and it's been very difficult for members. So what has happened on health care will affect what happens on climate change. And the fact that we're going into an election year makes the visibility issue that much higher, makes the politics that much more difficult.
Although Schlegel says Congress did pass environmental legislation in election years 1972 and 1990. GOP climate bill opponents say they'll also try to block the EPA from regulating greenhouse gases without congressional action first.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Washington and climate change, let's move a bit closer to home. January will be a very busy month for the agricultural specialist here on campus. I've compiled a list of some of the meeting highlights. In 2010, we'll kick off with a series of agricultural events hosted by the University of Illinois. These include an agricultural markets workshop at the end of the month, the unveiling of a rhizome root harvester in Champaign mid-month, the annual corn and soybean classic series of crop protection and production meetings, and the Specialty Crop Conference. The three-day Illinois Specialty Crop Agritourism and Organic Conference is scheduled for the 6th through the 9th at the Crown Plaza in Springfield. The conference will include special interest tracks of presentations on fruits, vegetables, herbs, agritourism, marketing, irrigation, business management, and two new tracks devoted to information on organics. Deborah Cavanaugh Grant, John Basunas, Dan Anderson, Ed Zaborski, Darren Eastburn, and Michelle Wander, all from the U of I, will make presentations at the conference. Visit www.specialtygrowers.org for a complete agenda and information. Well, a bit later in the month, on the 11th and the 12th, the iHotel in Champaign, Illinois, will host the Bioenergy Feedstock Symposium. A new Miscanthus rhizome root harvester and planter will be unveiled at the 7th annual event. In collaboration with the University of Illinois, European bioenergy developer Tomax Limited and Oklahoma machinery manufacturer Bermuda King will reveal Rhizomagen. It is a harvester planter package touted to save 50% on existing rhizome harvesting and planting cost. Search Google for Bioenergy Feedstock Symposium for more complete information on the machine and the conference. That same week, University of Illinois Extension Specialist will tour the state on the Corn and Soybean Classic Circuit. The annual Crop Protection and Production Conference is entering its 13th season, and this year will make stops in Mount Vernon, Champaign, Springfield, Bloomington, and Malta. Soybean specialist Vince Davis will take up soybean yields during each of the events. He says the crop appears not to have kept pace with the projected trend. Walk-ins are welcomed at each site. The month will close with an agricultural market seminar in Chicago. Individuals engaged in agricultural markets wanting to better understand world agricultural markets and associated risk management strategies will have opportunity to attend a two-day workshop scheduled for January 25th and 26th at the Illini Center in Chicago. The workshop, sponsored by the University of Illinois, will provide an in-depth update on the latest trends in the world's agricultural marketplace, grain flow, transportation, regulation, hedging, basis trading, spreads, market reports, and options. The workshop is scheduled from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. each day. Cost for the full two-day workshop is $650 and includes all materials as well as a session at the Chicago Board of Trade to observe trading and the daily closing of the agricultural futures and options markets. Visit the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental website news section for all the details. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming, a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. You can also take yourself off that list there if you'd like, or update it so that you can get texted to you on days of great importance with USDA reports, the latest numbers. It's all at willag.org. In just 2 minutes, I'll return when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather about the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Negotiations are on a second day between Mediacom and the owner of Champaign's ABC affiliate. A federal mediator is involved with hopes that WICD will be available to those cable subscribers in cities like Rantoul and Mahomet when an agreement with the cable provider is set to expire on Friday. The main sticking point, retransmission consent, or the terms by which a cable company can carry a TV station. A Mediacom spokeswoman says Sinclair Broadcasting is seeking 50% above what the current contract provides. Phyllis Peters says she's optimistic, however, about the progress of talks. WICD General Manager Tim Mathis says he doesn't expect that station or Springfield's WICS to be carried by Mediacom after Thursday. He's encouraging subscribers to seek out other sources like DirecTV, Dish Network, and for communities served by Consolidated Communications to use their service. A similar disagreement in 2007 cut Channel 15 from the Mediacom lineup for about a month. Body-scanning security equipment is headed to O'Hare's International Airport. Chicago Department of Aviation Commissioner Rosemarie Edolino says the Transportation Security Agency plans to bring the full-body scanners to O'Hare sometime in the first half of next year. The department says it has no details on the number of scanners or whether they're the type of critics have called virtual strip searches. O'Hare has 12 security checkpoints, each with several lines. Body-scanning technology may have prevented the Christmas Day attempt to blow up a jetliner that landed in Detroit. That suspect didn't go through a scan when his flight landed, began in Amsterdam. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan says a new state law will make it easier for people to get protection if they're being stalked. She says such a crime doesn't only involve celebrities, noting about 76% of female homicide victims were stalked first, citing numbers from the U.S. Department of Justice. Previously, victims had to cite two separate stalking incidents to get protection. The new law says people can get a no-contact order if they feel threatened if they experience just one incident. Purdue University is beefing up security at the campus's computer labs following the theft of 75 computers from two buildings. Officials say 60 were taken Saturday and Sunday from Coulter Hall, while 15 computers were taken December 18th from the Civil Engineering Building on campus. I'm Jeff Bossert.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon, and Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Hey, it's cold here, and it has been for the last couple of days, and it doesn't look like we're going to get a whole lot of relief as we head into the new year.
Yeah, in fact, it may even get colder as we go into 2010. There's going to be a very persistent area of low pressure across the nation's midsection, stretching north into Canada, that's going to send a jet stream all the way down to the Gulf Coast states. And that just opens the door to Canada and lets everything in from up north. So we're going to ring in the new year with some very cold temperatures. There's going to be a little bit of snow with the cold, although we're not going to hopefully see a repeat of what we had last Christmas weekend with that big Midwestern storm, but some light snows will fall in this colder weather.
Oh, we get hogs from Canada, we get beef from Canada, we get cold weather from Canada. What else is on store from us? Can we get anything from the south?
Golden, back bacon.
All those good things. Well,
Bob and Doug.
Bob and Doug. Oh, that's a long time ago. Okay, let's get back to the weather. So we've got this cold weather system that's in the Midwest, and it's going to be really cold. It doesn't look like we're going to have a whole lot of really bad weather along with it for the Midwest. Where are they going to have bad weather around the globe? Any place?
We do need to watch the northeast and far eastern part of the U.S. New England especially could be looking at a winter storm developing this weekend. And we are also looking at the severe cold, not only here in North America, but on the other side of the pond. We've had some very cold weather in Europe, record cold, in fact, and they're likely going to be getting more of it, as we are in a pattern that's going to favor more Arctic intrusions well into the month of January over most, or let's say many, areas of the Northern Hemisphere. So.
Like the earlier storms we had in December, which came pretty strong, fiercely, and with a lot of precipitation, does the cold weather have to do with the El Nino, or is it some other event around the globe?
It's another event. In fact, if the El Nino forecast would have been on track, which we're calling for above normal temperatures for most of the lower 48 states this winter, we would definitely see it having more of an impact with temperature. But we have what's going on is what's called a negative Arctic oscillation. And then basically the short definition of that is that it's a pattern that favors very strong high pressure to form in the North Pacific, causing cold air to be displaced from the pole southward. And this negative oscillation is forecasted to continue well into the first 3 months of the year. So although we do have an El Nino in the Pacific, which does tend to bring a more moderate winter to the U.S., the negative Arctic oscillation is overcoming the El Nino.
Well, negatives usually are not good. Turn your attention to South America. What kind of crop conditions have they got at this point?
Well, they've had a little more rain lately, and that trend is going to continue, especially for Brazil. There are some northern areas of Brazil that could use a little bit of moisture, but some of the key growing areas, adequate moisture, and there's more to come in Argentina is looking at a weather pattern that looks to be favorable as well, at least in terms of getting some precipitation. Now, the stormy weather resulting in that moisture is going to lead to temperatures a tad below normal over Brazil and portions of Argentina, but I would say nearly ideal weather down there right now.
Don, you have a great new year, and we'll talk to you in 2010.
Sounds good.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.